As you should know by now, I grew up in the country. And one of the things about being on a farm, you know, in the middle of nowhere, was that when you would walk outside on a night like this, you know, being able just to see the expanse of stars, you know, just the incredible experience of beholding the Milky Way. But the other thing was the sounds that you would hear. You know, most of the time it was almost entirely silent. There were, of course, the sounds of our animals, the chickens or the cattle, the dogs perhaps barking, the sounds of cicadas, the sounds of frogs. But essentially, it was a place of absolute stillness and silence. And then, when I moved to Sydney, I remember that was the thing that really struck me. Like, even in the middle of the night, you'd go outside and stand on the street, and there's just this hum of noise that is always around you. And it's just, you know, quite insane. And then when I later on moved into the inner city and just go like, oh my gosh, it's even worse. There's just this constant sound of the noise. And here in Campbelltown, of course, we're no strangers to that noise of the sirens going by, or the helicopters coming in to land at the hospital, or the sounds, you know, occasionally of aircraft and whatnot. But of course, just the constant buzz of the traffic, the constant buzz of just other people and interactions, and the wonderful joys of neighbors having arguments and things like that, or of children crying in the middle of the night. All of those noises can distract us, but the really sad thing I find is that even if there's so much noise already around us, we seem to like just adding more and more and more noise into our world. You know, we have the background sound of the TV or the radio, or at least, you know, when I grew up, that was pretty much the choice that you had. I mean, I guess we had CD players and or tape players back in the day, and so you could put one of those on, you know, but now we have so many different options, whether that's listening to podcasts or streaming some music on Spotify or one of the other services, or watching something on Netflix or another one of the services, or our phones, of course, are constantly pinging to remind us of notifications to check out the latest TikTok or something on Instagram or something on Facebook or YouTube or whatever it is. And whenever we're browsing, you know, constantly there are the pop-up ads and all of the sounds and the distractions of things trying to get our attention. But the problem we find, of course, is that with so many things trying to get our attention, it's really hard to find the space for the one thing that's necessary, the one that is actually longing to fill our ears, our hearts, and our souls with the presence of love, the presence of goodness. And this feast of Pentecost, you know, is meant to remind us of that need that we have, the vulnerability that we're meant to experience, to simply be present to the God who is so longing to fill us, who wants to restore us and renew us. You know, the longing of the prayers, the sequence that we just prayed, all of the ways that we express this. You know, this sense of the longing that is there for purpose, for meaning. You know, we can be so easily distracted by all of the other stuff around us, or we can just rest in God's presence, and we can let the Spirit of God do its work within us, to transform us, to change us, to let us be the people that we do, I suspect, want to be. We do long to have that place of significance where we can know ourselves to be held and loved by God. Because if we're just constantly busy and distracted and caught up with a thousand other things, we will never find the space to actually let God do that work among us. You know, so often we see in the scriptures, the signs of God breaking in, like in the upper room that we hear about in Acts 2 today. The wonder of the Lord who is suddenly in this rushing wind breaking into the experience of that community, still huddled together, praying now, but still filled with fear, filled with consternation, filled with a sense of inadequacy, until God brings this new possibility and this new hope and this new life to them. And the first sign that something is afoot is the sound of that breeze, the sound of the rushing wind wanting to bring this restoration and this new life to this community. Because God is wanting to do that. But we see elsewhere in Scripture that, you know, sometimes when we're looking for God, that it's probably not going to be in the signs and wonders that we find Him. There will be time for that. But most of the time, I think God is not so much in the bright and sparkling, shiny thing, but in the act of simplicity, in the silence, in the stillness. That if we truly want to encounter God, it's not about generating some event or finding some way to grab the attention of God. God is always there, always available, always longing, always ready to rush in, to be in our presence, to fill us with joy and wonder. But sometimes we simply need to make that space. We need to let God do that work. Maybe it will be in this quite remarkable and extraordinary way, and we will be able in days to come and in years to come look back and think about what an incredible event that was. But most of the time it's much more subtle, much more simple, much more beautiful, of a God who breaks into the depths of our wounding, in the depths of all of our experiences of inadequacy, all those places where we don't feel worthy, where we don't feel that we're capable of being loved and held by God because of our sins, because of our dysfunction, because of all of the stuff that can get in the way, all of the ways that those ads tell us how pathetic and inadequate we are until we buy whatever product they're trying to sell us. But the Word of God is different. The Word of God is available to us precisely where we are inadequate. Not because God is wanting to sell us something, wanting to change something, but the God who's wanting to heal, the God who's wanting to restore, the God who's wanting to bring this peace that nowhere else is able to provide for us. Today, we can make that space. Today, we can allow the breath of God to be as close as our breath, to let the Spirit of God be to fill us as we breathe in today. During this Eucharist, we can let God's love have access to the depths of who we are. We can set aside all those distractions, set aside all those doubts, set aside all those questions that we carry, because they're bad, but there's just a space at times where we need to set them aside and let the presence of God be the only thing that matters. And today, we can choose to let, in the stillness of our hearts, in the quiet of our souls, to let God's Spirit be breathed in, to let God's love fill us. And so then choose to be people that walk in the Spirit, that walk in His presence, that know that when we make space, when we allow the wonder of God to be at the very presence of who we are, then God will continue to bring us to that place of life and restoration and the newness that God is wanting to offer. We can be people that make space each day, make space simply to sit and to listen, to hear the voice of God, to hear the voice of love, to hear that transforming, powerful message that brings new peace and new hope to us. Let's indeed allow this final day of the season of Easter to be a day of new hope, a day of new joy, a day of wonder, when we can let God do that wonderful work of restoring us and calling us back to life today.